Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. My name is Daphne Clark Hudson, affectionately known as the Queen of the Empowered Soul or Dynamic Daphne. I am supercharged this morning because it is such an amazingly beautiful day here in Connecticut. And I pray that wherever you are over the world, that you too are experiencing a beautiful, sunny summer day. Today, I do not have an invited guest. However, the weeks and months leading up to the Vision Conference, weekend conference, we will be speaking on different aspects of vision. As the weeks move on, we will be featuring our faculty members and to talk about some of their contribution to the conference. And today, you're going to be hanging with me, and I do hope you appreciate that. And we will be speaking on maximizing our potential, because as entrepreneurs, we need to understand how to do that with clarity. I was in town maybe 10 days ago, and I stopped into the local newspaper here, and there's one of the writers there I had not seen for a while, and when she introduced me to the new person that was there, she said, oh, this is a woman that has reinvented herself so many times. And it was really the first time that I heard someone use that description to introduce me. So we all need to know when and how to reinvent ourselves in order to really harness what God has brought us here for. So before I get into that, I want to do a bit of housekeeping. And then I want to read the daily devotion for today. I want to welcome my guests in the chat room and to let you know that please join in the conversation at any time, either by typing and I will read what you type, or please feel free and welcome to call the phone number, which is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And that's the number that you can call in to join me in today's conversation. And, you know, I welcome people calling into the show. I welcome your input, because without your input, there would be no show. Without your listening, there would be no show. So I am greatly appreciative of the people who keeps coming back week and week and week after week. I really, really, really appreciate your support. I want to also remind you that you can visit the show page of this show. You can sign up and register to become a friend. You can also leave me a comment in the comments section there about what you have gotten out of the show, what you would like to see the show do. You know, the focus of our show is to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs and small business people. So if you have any insight there, if you know of anyone that has an amazing entrepreneurial story, let me know about that, and I will see whether or not we are a match, and I will have them on the show to share their story with the rest of the world. Now, today's devotion reads, There was silence, and I heard a still voice. A score of years ago, a friend placed in my hand a book called True Peace. It was an old medieval message, and it had but one thought, that God was waiting in the depths of my being to talk to me if I would only get still enough to hear his voice. I thought it would be very easy, and so began to get still. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect paradigm of voices reached my ears. A thousand clamoring notes from without and within. Still, I could hear nothing but their voices and ding. Some were my own voices, my own questions, some my very priors, others were suggestions of the temper of the voices from the world's turmoil. In every direction I was pulled and pushed and greeted with noisy acclamation, unspeakable unrest. It seemed necessary for me to listen to some of them and answer some of them, but God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Then came the conflict of thoughts for tomorrow and its duties and cares, but God said, "Be still." And as I listened and slowly learned to obey and shut my ears to every sound, I found after a while that when the other voices cease, or I cease to hear them, there was a still small voice in the depths of my being that began to speak with an impressibility, tenderness, power, and comfort. As I listened, it became to me the voice of prayer, the voice of wisdom, the voice of duty, and I did not need to think so hard or pray so hard or trust so hard But that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer in my secret soul, was God's answer to all my questions, was God's life and strength for soul and body, and became the substance of all knowledge and all prayer and all blessing, for it was the living God himself as my life, my all. It is thus that our spirit drinks in the life of our risen Lord, and we go forth to life's conflicts and duties like a flower that has drunk it. Though the shades of night, the cool and crystal drops of dew, but as dew never falls on a stormy night, so the dews of his grace never come in restless souls. I thought that was really powerful and encouraging when I read it this morning, because those of you who listened last week to last week's show with Dr. Stephen Harefield, and he was explaining to us about the art of manifesting, and you know that we are magnets that brings the things to us. And the reason I personally know the times when I'm not able to attract the good that I seek is because I am creating turmoil in my own life. I'm not still enough. I get busy. And sometimes busyness does not equal to effectiveness. And as entrepreneurs, we need to know that in order to be effective, it requires us to practice intense, absolute stillness throughout our lives. We just have to know that we have no reason to feel guilty if we sit down to take some quiet times, because I have found out that a lot of the true revelation that I got over the years came to me during my time of quiet and stillness. So please commit that you will begin to take some quiet time for you with your journal and your pen, or your pad and pen or pencil next to you, or your tape recorder, whatever your method of recording is, you have it next to you, so when you receive the messages, you can record them. So, we are going to be talking about maximizing your potential. And I want to start off with, some of the principles why we should maximize our potential. And the first thing I want to speak on is that what we have done does not equal the sum of what we can do. A lot of times you encounter some people who have had great successes and accomplishments, and it's like they sit back now in their comfy recliner and they keep hammering at that thing that they have done, and they refuse to challenge themselves to continue to do something else. We must learn as a people to place our achievement, our successes in archives, and keep going for more. Keep going for more. keep going for more, because this is the only practice that will help us to die empty. The more we give of ourselves, the more we do, the more we recreate, the more we invent, we will empty out all the greatness that God places inside of us. The next thing I want to say is that success is a journey of discovery, an adventure as you explore your God-given potential. So, you know, if you have been listening to the show for a while, you often hear me say that you don't need to be competing with anyone else. You just need to focus on your talents, your skills, your gift, your purpose, and your calling. Yes, there are times when what we do can add value and allow us to collaborate with other people. But we should not use that to be a distraction. Because if we do that, then we are off course. Mediocrity accepts the norm, pleases the crowd, and goes and does what it can get by with. Maximum living pushes the norm, pleases God, and sets the standard of excellence. And let me say that again. Mediocrity accepts the norm, pleases the crowd, and does what it can to get by with. However, maximum living pushes the norm, pleases God, and sets the standard for excellence. You know, for those of you who have known me for a while and you call my host phone, you oftentimes hear that my message says that we do not have to settle for mediocrity because we have the ability to create excellence. And that is so true. You know? Yeah, when we live a mediocre life, we sit around and we say, oh, well, you know, ain't nobody else is doing that. Oh, I don't want to be standing out like a sore thumb. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. However, we got to know how important it is to set ourselves apart from mediocrity. Set ourselves apart from the norm and just continue to live a life of supernatural excellence. The capacity of your potential is not determined by what you have done or what others think about what you have done. Ain't that the truth? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. You know that you are God's creation. And God is our supplier and our provider. And we just need to concentrate on pleasing and satisfy Him and delivering to Him what He expects of us to deliver to Him. The performance or opinions of others cannot measure your success. You know, for each and every one of us, success has a different meaning. And I am here to encourage you, my listeners, do not categorize your successes based on someone else's definition. Craft and create your own definition of success. What does success mean for you? What does wealth mean for you? What does health mean for you? You need to sit and craft that definition for yourself, because only you know the true answer to that. You can look at other people's successes, and you can admire their successes. You can even use them as mentors and role models. However, their successes does not define yours. It is your responsibility to do that for yourselves. Your past experiences cannot measure your success. And I, you know, at the opening of the show, I did make mention of that. We got to keep doing, you know. What we have already done is in archive, it is history. We got to keep in the present. What am I doing today? What am I doing today? What am I doing today? Circumstances and crises are God's tools to move you into your purpose and the maximizing of your potential. That is so true. And, you know, I have found out that each and every day you wake up, and so long as you are on task with your vision, your calling, and your purpose, there are always things out there. Issues, circumstances, people, whatever it is, that are set out to distract you. It's like they are set out to use a pin to prick into your inflated balloon to deflate you. But you got to protect yourself from all of those elements that are out there. And we need to be aware and alert. One of my favorite authors wrote about the purpose of work. And he wrote, "Most of us are not interested in discovering what we can accomplish when we go to our jobs. We go to work only because we want a paycheck. This view of work is contrary to God's purpose for giving work. He is more concerned with our use or abuse of the skills and talents He gave us than He is with our financial wealth or poverty. He wants us to be good workers, not good job keepers. His changing attitude requires that we begin to see work as a blessing, not a punishment. Work, as God planned it, was given to man before he sinned. It is His tool to make us productive and fruitful. Because God's assignment and activities always involve work, He designed men and women to share in His creativity by giving them the opportunity to work. Even as God worked through His spoken word to make the unobservable visible, so too we must work to reveal the invisible possibilities that exist in us. Although the conditions of work change after sin, becoming painful and require great effort, the purpose of work did not. Work is not a result of sin. In essence, work is God's gift to help people discover their potential. Until you start working to discover what you yet can be, you will miss the blessing inherent in work. This is true because work profits the worker by providing for physical needs, building self-esteem, teaching what the discovery and use of talents, skills, and abilities is far more important than the acquisition of money. Developing an attitude that sees a challenge as a cause for rejoicing because it holds possibility for success. Offering the opportunity to transform dreams into reality. Multiplying resources and revealing the potential that is yet to be exposed, tapped, released, and employed. Work also blesses others as we give generously of what we have and who we are. That is so true. I want to take a pause here and to welcome our Spirit Warrior to the room, and also guest 232. Today, I am, as you can read at the top, I am speaking on maximizing your potential. And I encourage you to join into the conversation, either by typing or you can call in on the phone, which is 646-915-8166. And if at any time the sound is not clear enough to you, would you be kind enough to please let me know from the chat room? I love and appreciate all of you. So at this time, I'm speaking about how to become your potential. Work is God's gift to help you discover your potential. And that's a bullet point that I think we all need to remember. That when we are blessed to have work, whether as an entrepreneur or those who are still seeking and have a job, to begin to look at the job as God's gift to you. Stop looking at it as just being overbroke. But look on it as a job that God has blessed you, put you in to help you to seek and find what your true gifts and potentials are. The nature of work. God's work in creation was to deliver the stuff hidden inside of him. He labored to birth the world. His concept of laboring to deliver is the central factor in God's perception of work. Work releases potential and empowers successes. It uses innate abilities and natural talents to share experiences and proficiency. It also energizes the world's productive ability and activity, man's creative power. In essence, work brings forth from a man or a woman the possibilities that will die with an individual unless they are activated, performed, produced, and fulfilled. In the absence of work, strength and energy waste away. Dreams and vision wither and died. God-given skills and talents degenerate, and productivity wanes. In essence, laziness, which is the absence of work, aborts potential and sacrifices possibilities. Work releases potential and empowers success. Laziness, which is the absence of work, aborts potential and sacrifices possibilities. I wanted to repeat that because Isn't that the God-given truth? You know how many people we know that does not really have a job that they go to, yet they are great at other things and they refuse to take a stand for something that they are great at doing. Therefore, God's purpose for giving you work is to bless you by calling forth from you all that he sees in you. He designed you to meet your needs and the needs of others through your ability to work. When you see work from this perspective, you accept your opportunities to work as the gifts of a loving God who wants to draw from you the wealth of your hidden potential. You will find that work becomes an anticipated pleasure to be embraced as an opportunity to find happiness and fulfillment. Work is the master key to releasing your potential. These six keys are essential for the release of your potential. If you disregard even one of these principles, you will limit your potential because the violation of the law always incurs a penalty. The history has proven that these laws are true. Commit yourself today to practicing these keys so your potential will not die with you. God wants all he put in you for the good of the world to be released and maximized. Only then can you truly become your potential. God works the vision in, man works the vision out. And here are the six principles which can allow you to govern your potential. Key number one. What God speaks to is the source for what he creates. God spoke to himself when he created you, so you came from God. Number two. All things have the same component and essence of the source from which they came. Because you came from God, who is spirit, you are also spirit. Number three, all things must be maintained by the sources from which they came. You must be maintained by God, your source. Apart from him, you will die. Number four, the potential of all things is related to the source from which it came. Your potential is related to God's potential. Key number five. Everything in life has the ability to fulfill its potential. God built into you the ability to fulfill your potential. And key number six. Potential is determined and revealed by the demands placed on it by its creator. God reveals what he created you to do by placing demands on you. You are capable of doing everything, every single thing that God asks of you. I want to go back to key number three, which read, all things must be maintained by the source from which they came. You must be maintained by God, your source. Apart from him, you will die. And I want to just elaborate on that. That is not really speaking about a physical death where you move on. It is speaking about you still breathing, still be part of this universe. But it's like you keep going in circles. You keep going in circles. You cannot find what you're supposed to do. You keep going from job to job, from relationship to relationship, from church to church, from town to town, city to city, and you cannot find any peace in what you are doing. And you oftentimes, a lot of time, people die spiritually, and their potential die in them when they are in their early ages of like maybe 20 early, and they still live to a great old age. So a lot of us, a lot of people, they are walking this earth and they walking as living deads because what God has placed inside of them died because they are not following through on what he has created them for. There are six keys to help you release your potential. Key number one. You must know your source. And again, to affirm that, our source is God. You must understand how you were designed to function. God designs to operate you by faith. Faith, faith, faith. Key number three. You must know your purpose. God creates you to express his image, to enjoy fellowship with him, to determine, to dominate the earth, to bear fruit, and to reproduce yourself. That one is so powerful, I want to read that again. You must know your purpose. God created you to express his image, to enjoy fellowship with him, to dominate the earth, and to bear fruit, and to reproduce yourself. What more can we ask for, saints? What more? Key number four. You must understand your resources. God has given you resources of spirit, body, soul, time, and material things. Each of these resources complement each other. And you know, this is one of the reasons why I am having so much fun with Blog Talk Radio, because it allows me to dominate not only the U.S., but the earth all over the globe. Key number five, you must have the right environment. God created you to live with him in a relationship of fellowship and obedience that is established and maintained by his presence, assurance, guidance, and direction. You know, we need to begin to look at our potential as the way that farmers look at the soil that they use for their produce. You know, there are certain times that the farmer begin to prepare the soil. There are certain nutrients he needs in that soil for certain crops. And those are some of the reasons why you see farmers rotate crops. One season they put this here, the other season they put that, and they put that, because they know the strength of the elements that is in that soil that they use for farming. And we need to begin to do the same thing with our potential. Key number six in keys to releasing your potential. You must work out your potential. God, work is God's blessing to challenge and expose your potential. In other words, if you are just sitting back, you know, all comfy and complacent, and you never do anything pertaining to your potential, you are not going to make a progress. And then you are going to be one of those people who are sitting around and saying, oh, there is nothing for me to do. Absolutely nothing. Because there's this person is doing that, and that person is doing that. And to be honest, other people is really not our concern and responsibility. We have a life that we need to concentrate on and just do the best that we were created to do. You know that just like in real life we have enemies, so does our potential. There are enemies of our potential. Your ability is your responsibility. So if it is to be, it's up to me. If it is to be, it is up to me. So I have to decide and take a stand. Is it my responsibility? Is it my child's responsibility? Is it my friend's responsibility? Is it my spouse's responsibility? No. Each and every one of us has our own responsibilities. And the end result is dependent on us. The cyclist arose early the first day of the journey. By noon, they were well on their way to completing the first leg of their cross-continent trip. As they fell into bed that night, exhaustion and exhilaration veered for attention. The day had given them an exciting taste of the joy that lay ahead. It had also warned them that much hard work lay between them and their intended destination. The next morning, they woke to blisters, sore muscles, and a spectacular sunrise. Amid groans, teasing, and words of encouragement, they prepared to break camp and to begin riding to their chagrin. However, two of the 10 cyclists lay flat, had flat tires. Repairing the flats delayed their starting by an hour and more, so that the heat of the day was up on them when they hit the road. That evening, as they set up camp, anxiety and discouragement overshadow exhaustion of the night before. First, the bikers had been soaked by a late afternoon downpour. Then the campfire was difficult to start because wood was scarce and what they found was wet. Finally, one cyclist discovered that a scrap of his strap of his pack was nearly torn, though the other realized that his canteen was missing from his gear. As they huddled in their sleeping bags on the damp ground, each hoped the next day would be better. Dawn was just beginning to light the sky when an angry shout broke the silence. An early riser had awakened to find the content of his pack screwed all over the ground. Something or someone had gotten into it during the night. The others quickly checked their packs, only to find that that some of their food was missing too. Although no one voiced the thought, more than one cyclist wondered if anyone was trying to stop them from finishing their journey. It was a silent, troubled group that mounted their bikes that third morning. Our lives are not unlike this cross-continent cycle trip. When we come back to God and begin to glimpse and act on his plans and purposes of our lives, we become excited and we anticipate the joy and the surprises that lay ahead. As we meet obstacles and discover the perseverance and hard work that will be required for us to fulfill our God-given potential, our enthusiasm often wants and broaden or disillusionment sets in. Then, like the cyclists, we must simply stay with the journey in spite of the hardships and the discouraging situations, and even that plague us. What plague us? Even as a pregnancy in no guarantee a birth of a healthy child, so beginning a journey does not ensure that it will finish. Vision can be aborted. The world is proficient at aborting potential. Not only will it do nothing to help you reveal the use of the hidden you, it most likely still discourages you by measuring your effects against standards for successful standards it made, because the world doesn't know what true success is. Beware of these standards and the disparaging words of those who live by them, because if you let them, they will determine your journey. Then tragedy strikes as success dies in failure, hope dies in despair, vision dies in the absence of confidence. This abortion of potential breaks the heart of God. Tragedy strikes when success dies in failure, hope dies in despair, and vision dies in the absence of confidence. If you're just joining us, I'm now reading and I'm discussing about the enemies of our potentials. You are responsible to release your potential. No one, you. It is our responsibility. It is my responsibility. It is your responsibility. No one else can or will do it for us. Releasing some potential, however, does not mean that you will release all potential. Redeeming all your potential requires that you protect your potential, cultivate your potential, share your potential, and discover and obey the laws of limitation regarding your potential. These are the keys of maximizing potential. You can work hard to achieve a dream. However, if you do not protect it, cultivate it, share it, and act within God's standards, knowing God's requirements and fulfilling them, are two very different experiences. One is information, the other action. Many times, what should have been does not happen because somewhere between the dream and its completion, our great anticipations are trampled and destroyed. This is the work of the destroyer. The enemy of your potential. When God placed man in the garden, he commanded him to work the garden and take care of it. The King James Version of the Bible says that man was to till and keep the garden, while today's English version assigned to man the responsibility to cultivate and guard the garden. This requirement of God is given to man before he breaks fellowship with God through disobedience. Man is his ideal environment, filled with God's power and anointing, living in perfect holiness and purity, and enjoying God's fellowship and presence. Thus, this commandment implies that something or someone was waiting to take or attack what man had given to keep. The scriptures warn us of this thief. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's taken from St. John 10, verses 9 and 10. Satan is the enemy. He wants to destroy the power of God within us so that God's glory is not revealed in us. He who was thrown out of heaven to the earth, where he leads the whole earth astray, is out to remove us from the one who is our life and our salvation. He's out to destroy all we could be, because he knows that those who become rerooted in God have the ability to act like God, showing his nature and likeness. Consequently, Satan comes as a thief to steal our potential because he cannot boldly challenge God's power within us. Our outward container, which is our body reveals nothing of the treasure inside of us. This all surpassing treasure is God's power and wisdom. In Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6, it reads, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation of our times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. For the fear of the Lord is the key to his treasure." In other words, the key to releasing God's power within you is reverencing him, which is living with him in a relationship of obedience and submission. You are filled with heavenly wisdom, but you have to follow God's program to benefit from it. Jesus spoke of this need to live in a relationship with God when he said, "Remain in him, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by himself. It must remain to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in him. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given." That's taken from John 15, verses 4 through 7. No wonder Satan tries to steal our potential. He fears God's power within us because it is greater than he is. Therefore, our dreams, plans, and ideas are targets of his evil forces. The minute we have a good idea, the deceiver will send someone to criticize our dreams because he cannot permit us to accomplish our vision. As long as we are only dreaming, he is safe and he will let us alone. When we begin to act on our dreams, he'll hit us full force. Our dreams, plans, and ideas are targets of Satan's evil forces. You are responsible to guard your dream and bring it to reality by safeguarding and protecting it from injury and loss. To do so, you must understand how Satan seeks to rob you of your destiny. Enemies of potential, Satan's methods of stealing dreams are many and varied according to the vision and the and the personality of the dreamer. Let us identify some of the enemies of potential so you will recognize them for what they are: the deceiver's activity in your life. Disobedience is the first one. And I know this is not new to any of my listeners because we all have been disobedient at some time or another. The Bible repeatedly states that disobedience withholds God's blessings and rains. His curse is upon us. This is true because disobedience brings into our lives the natural God-ordained consequences of our actions. Teenagers who experiment with sex destroy the beauty of the first intimacy that is to be enjoyed between husband and wife. Open themselves to AIDS and other diseases, and risk losing the joy of youth due to birth of children or child. They also forfeit their dreams to problems in marriage in later years, to serious illnesses and possible death, and the responsibility of raising a child before they have matured to the task. Jonah learned the consequences of disobedience when he boarded the ship going to the opposite direction from the city to which God was sending him. He nearly lost his life by drowning in a similar situation. Lot's wife, in spite of God's commandment not to look back, sacrificed her life for one last look at the city she was fleeing from. Disobedience always wastes potential and retards the attainment of goals. You cannot persist in disobedience and maximize your potential. To maximize your life, you must submit to God's will in everything. Sin is the number two. Although the effects of disobedience and sins are similar, sin is more basic ill because it is total rebellion against the known will of God. Or to say it another way, a declaration of independence from your source, the resulting alienation from God destroys potential because we cannot know God if we do not have His Spirit. And His Spirit is the password to unlock our potential. Sin is the essence, says, I know better than you do, God, how to run my life. King David experienced the desolation and death that results from the rebellious spirit when he violated another man's wife and tried to cover it up with action by having the woman's husband killed and in battle and taking her for his wife. The son born to David from this affair, and David endured the agony of separation from God, from the God he loved, that the child could have done in this lifetime was sacrificed, as were David's energy and vitality during the months before he confessed this sin. It is no wonder David prayed this prayer. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, I know we all need to pray similar prayers from time to time in our own lives. Destroying your relationship with God through sin is always suicide. You cannot become who God created you to be if you persist to rebel against Him. Without God's Spirit living and working in you, you will die with your potential. Sin caps the well of your potential. To maximize your life, you must avoid compromise with ungodliness. Fear. Fear is having faith in the impossible. It is dwelling on all that could go wrong instead of what will go right. Although, for example, accidents do happen and cars must be carefully maintained and driven, fear that prevents us from driving a car or riding in a car or mobilize our potential because it is severely limited, limits where we go. When as a lad, David met his giant Goliath with a slingshot and 3 stones, he most likely was afraid. Yet, because he mastered his fear by trusting in God instead of thinking about what could go wrong, he freed the Israelites from the oppression of their enemies and honored the name of God. His faith in God moved him beyond timidity to power. Fear is seeing Goliath too big to hit. Faith is seeing Goliath too big to miss. Paul wrote in Timothy about this ability to move beyond fear. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in your thought, the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of spirit of power, of love, and of a self-discipline. A spirit of self-discipline submits the information where we receive through our bodies and our minds, the knowledge we receive from God's Spirit. It refuses to allow our minds to run wild, imagining everything that could happen, and choose instead to apply God's promise to the situation and to depend on God's love and power for the outcome. Faith of God's given mode of operation combats fear and encourages the maximizing of potential. He who fears to try will never know what he could have done. He who fears God has nothing else to fear. To maximize your life, you will neutralize fear with faith. Discouragement. Most things worth having requires patience and perseverance. No pianist plays perfectly the first time she touches the keys. Nor does an athlete win the first race the first time he runs. Many discouraging moments exist between our initial experience and the perfecting of a skill. Unfortunately, much potential is sacrificed on the altar of discouragement. Perhaps you have experienced this enemy as too many sources, notes, hindering your ambition to practice or the failure to win a prize took you from the race. Replaying the music until it's right and running every day are the only ways to fulfill your potential, concert pianists and Olympic athletes aren't born. They move beyond their discouraging moment to perfect their innate skills. The same attitude is required of you to maximize your potential. God will give you a dream unless, God will not give you a dream unless He knows you have the talents, ability, and personality to complete it. His commands reveal the potential He gave you before you were born. God commanded Joshua to be courageous. Even though Joshua didn't feel courageous, God knew courage was in him and commanded him to show what was there. It's like God is saying to us, you know, show your stuff. Show your stuff. Those who are under command, military command, for example, just do what they are told. No matter how they feel about the command, they just obey. You must respond the same way to God's commands. Even if you are feeling discouraged about completing the task, you must start it. Do what needs to be done, no matter how difficult or impossible God's commands feel. Then, discouragement will have no opportunity to destroy your potential. To maximize your life, you must neutralize discouragement by faith and hope. Procrastination. How many times you have delayed so long in making a decision that it was made for you, or in completing a project that it was too late for your intended purpose? Most of us do this more than we like to admit. Procrastination, the delaying of action until a later time, kills potential. The Israelites destroyed this when they found many reasons why they couldn't obey God and enter the land He was giving them. When they saw that the land was good, with an abundance of food, and finally decided to take the land as God had commanded them, they destroyed all the opportunity to obey God was passed, disregarding God's warning that He would not go with them. They marched into battle and were soundly defeated. God left them alone to fight for themselves. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Procrastination often grows out of discouragement. When we become discouraged, we stop finding reasons for doing what we know we can do. When God allows us to go our own way and suffer the consequences, sooner or later we will discover that we have lost much because we refuse to act when God requires it. Very often, He will find someone else to do the job. Procrastination is a serious enemy of our potential. It eats away at every core of our time and our motivation. To maximize your life, you must destroy procrastination by eliminating all excuses and reasons for not taking action. Just do it. You know, there is a running shoes out there that we know that's what they say. Just do it. And we need to do the same thing with our potential. Just do it. Past failures. Too often we are unwilling to take risk in the present because we have failed in the past. Perhaps the first story you sent to a magazine wasn't published, so you never wrote another story. Perhaps your first garden didn't produce many vegetables, so you never planted another garden. Perhaps your first business potential didn't win the bank's approval, so you never start your own business. And you are still working for someone else. Failure is never a reason to stop trying. Indeed, failure provides another opportunity to enjoy success. The Apostle Paul discovered the truth of this when he met Jesus and turned from persecuting Christ to preaching the good news of God's salvation in him. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward that is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heaven warned in Jesus Christ. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Paul was not unaware of his failures, but he refused to allow them to keep him from doing what he knew he could do. He believed that the God who had called him to serve him would accomplish within a thought and through him all that he had purposed. He trusted in a power higher than himself. I consider everything a loss comparing to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For those sake I have lost all. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul had messed up, but in Christ he found the reason and the strength to pick himself up and move on. You must do the same, or you will never see your full potential. Refuse to be a loser, no matter how many times you lose. It is better to try and fail than never try at all. Remember, you cannot make progress by looking in the rearview mirror. To maximize your potential, you must let the past be past and leave it there. Key number 7, and that is the opinion of others. Most of us have many experiences of sharing great ideas with friends only to have them tell us 50 reasons, 50 to 100 reasons why it won't work. Too often such criticism prompts us to abandon our ideas because we wanted those with whom we shared our dreams to approve our plan. Forsaking dreams because others belittle them or say we are crazy for trying them wastes potential. So, does changing your plans to suit the idea and expectation of other family members and friends and business associates? Satan uses those closest to us, whose opinions we value, to get to our potential. He kills our vision by shaking our faith in God and our confidence in ourselves. Because the destroyer uses those you trust most to keep you from translating your vision into reality, you must accept that no one is for you except God. No human being can be trusted to defeat your potential. You alone are responsible. By refusing to allow the discouragements of others to discourage you, by removing yourself from their influence, your vision becomes threatened. And by clinging to God's commandments and directions, you can unleash the totality of God's power within you. Jesus demonstrated the importance of disregarding the opinion of others when he went to Jerusalem one Passover. The crowd believed in him because of the miracles he performed. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, but he knew what was in man. He had a good reason to be cautious about accepting the affirmation of the crowd. He knew the fickle nature of people. He didn't trust them, cheers and their pats at the back of accolades should be appreciated but never required. The events of the week preceding his death confirmed the wisdom of his decision. One day the people in Jerusalem received him with great joy and hailed him as the Messiah. Several days later, they clamored for his death. Had he relied on their promise and goodwill, he very well may have lost the opportunity to fulfill his God-given purpose to be the Savior of the world. You too must beware of allowing the opinions of others to influence your decision. Do not trust others to work for your good. Too often, folks you thought were for you will turn against you and destroy what you have been working to accomplish. Remember, you are required to perform for an audience of one. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he applauds you, you are successful. Get your encouragement and promotion from God. Tap into the heavenly realms and receive the confirmation of your plans from him, because his opinion is the only one that counts. The opinions of others can destroy your potential if you permit them to touch your dreams and vision. To maximize your life, you must declare independence from the opinion of others. Distraction This is one of the principles, the principal enemies of maximizing potential. All of us had had the experience of walking into another room and saying, "No, why did I come here?" We had a purpose when we decided to go into the other room, but something between our decision and going to go to the moment we arrived sidetracked us from our original intention, or we may allow side interests to distract us from our main goal. Saying, for example, that you set a goal of walking 3 miles every day to provide to improve your health. The first day you walk 3 miles in a little over an hour. The second day, your walk takes an hour, but you walk only half a mile because you keep stopping to pick wildflowers. Picking flowers isn't bad. It's the result of picking flowers. The distraction of your goal was bad. Satan uses distraction to stop our progress toward a goal, or at least to change the speed of that progress. If he cannot conceive us that our dreams is wrong, he will throw other things into our path to show the development of our vision, or help push us and introduce us to move ahead of God's timetable. One of Satan's most successful devices is to preoccupy us with good things to distract us from the right thing. Perhaps God has planted the seed of the dream that he wants us to accomplish 20 years from now. Between then and now, he has many other plans for your life. Let that seed incubate and proceed cautiously as you stay open to God's leading in the area. He will reveal when the timing is right. Never sacrifice the right thing for the good thing. Likewise, if God says now is the time, be careful to examine your thoughts and actions closely to see if they help or hinder the completion of your goal. If a plan or activity distracts you from accomplishing your vision according to God's schedule, it is bad for you that moment. The Apostle Paul understood his truth. Everything doesn't help our progress. Hinders it. This is true because obeying God too soon or too late is disobedience. Everything we must carefully not to get drawn into good activities that distract us from our overall purpose. God requires our prompt response to him throughout the journey. Obedience, part of the way, is rarely disobedience. We must be true then to our whole vision over the long haul, because true obedience to God is doing what he says. He says the way he says, as long as he says, until he says stop. Because distractions take us off course, we cannot maximize our potential if we allow ourselves to be distracted from faithfully obeying him every step of the way. Even if God is his love and mercy permits us to get back on the course, he cannot recover the time and effort we wasted being distracted. God is the only one who knows where you are going and what is the best way to get there. He will not send you by roundabout routes with many delays, neither will he lure you into detours and dead ends. The fulfillment of your potential is his hope and joy. To maximize your life, you must stay focused on your purpose and avoid distraction through discipline. Success. Success is another enemy of potential. When you complete a task and quit because we think we have arrived, we never become all we are. If, for example, you graduated from college and teach first grade for the rest of your life when God wanted you to become a high school principal, you forfeit much of your potential because you stop at the preliminary success level. Leave your success and go create another. That's the only way you will release your potential. Remember, Satan is afraid of your potential. He knows that God created us to do something great. Therefore, he will allow us a small success and try to convince us that we have arrived. Then we will not want to move on to greater success. We must beware that a small success does not keep us from accomplishing our larger goal or purposes. In a similar manner, we must be careful to judge our successes by God's standards, not by the world's standards. Success in the world's eye is not really success because the world does not know what true success is. True success is being right with God and completing his assignment and purpose for our lives. It's knowing God and obeying him. Thus, we cannot succeed without discovering and doing what God asked us to do. Without God ever do everything we do is nothing. Therefore, do not be intimidated by your lack of achievement in the world's eyes. The power of God within you is greater than any other power. Then you are hooked up in God and you are obeying his directives. You will achieve success by his standards. Refuse to allow the world to measure your successes, to encourage or discourage you, because God's standards are the only criteria that matters. Follow him as he leads you from success to maximize your life. You must never allow temporary achievement to cancel eternal fulfillment. Tradition. Traditions are powerful enemies of our potential, because they are full of security. We don't have to think when we do something the way we have always done it. Neither do we receive incentive to grow, to be creative, because our new ideas may interfere with the conventional way of doing things. Say, for example, that you are hired to be a receptionist in a manufacturing company. Invoices, orders, and replacing parts, potential personal mail, trade journal, everything comes through your desk before being distributed, because the company is a large one. You spend much of your day sending out mail and deciding who should receive every incoming mail. This prevents you from presenting the company to the public as effectively as you would like, and offer delays in routine of important contracts and specifications. Thus, your purpose that all outside vendors and sales should be notified that their business will receive proper attention if it is addressed directly to the department to which it pertains. Invoices should be sent to accounts payable, payments of accounts receivable, shipping and instruction, expediting office, parts to the supply room, etc. Your proposal is not implemented, however, because the receptionist has always opened all the mails. Indeed, you are criticized for being lazy, ineffective, because you cannot handle both the mail and your other duties as the company gatekeeper. Most likely, it will be a long time before you make another suggestion to improve the company. The tragedy is that the tradition, which probably serve its purpose well when it was started, prevents the accomplishment of the purpose for which it was established. Then the manufacturing company was small. It made sense to have the receptionist open all the mails it received. She also served as a secretary for the various departments. Now that the company has grown and each department has secretaries and clerks within it, the combination of that tradition is self-defeating, disorganization rather than effective efficiency in its results. Remember, no matter how good the present system is, there's always a better way. Don't be imprisoned by the comfort of the known. Be an explorer, not just a passenger. Don't allow yourself to become trapped by tradition, or you will do and become nothing. Your present level of success will be your highest level of success. And God, who is not trapped within tradition, will find someone else to do what you could have done. Use your imagination. Dream big and find new ways to respond to present situations and responsibilities. Then you will uncover never-ending possibilities that inspire you to reach for continual higher achievements. You are sons of the Creator, who created us to be creative. Nowhere in scriptures did God repeat an identical act. Refrain from accepting or believing you have never done it that way. How? Now is the time to try something different. The release of your full potential demands that you move beyond the present tradition of your home, family, job, church, in essence, throughout your life, to maximize your life, you must be willing to release ineffective traditions for new methods. Wrong environment. Nutritious vegetables cannot grow in poor soil, and healthy fish cannot be thriving in polluted water. Neither can we maximize our potential in the wrong environment. The Apostle Paul speaks to this potential when he says, bad company corrupts good character, but means no matter how good our intentions may be, if we get in this bad company, we will eventually think and act as they do. We will not change them. They will change us. Many dreams die because they are shared with the wrong people. Joseph learned that lesson the hard way. Indeed, he landed in a pit and was sold to slavery because his brothers were jealous of their father's favoritism toward him. And they were offended by his dreams that placed him in authority over them. This is really not so surprising because older brothers rarely enjoy being dominated by younger ones. Had Joseph kept his dream to himself, his brother's resentment may not have developed into a plan to murder him. Remember, others do not see what you see. They cannot completely understand the vision God has given you. Protect your potential by choosing carefully those with whom you have dreamed and have dreams and aspiration, by maintaining the environment in which your potential can be fulfilled. To maximize your life, you must manage your environment and the quality of the people and resources that influence you. Your greatest responsibility is to yourself, not to others. Comparison. Many people struggle with the temptation to compare their children's strengths and weaknesses with the skills and temperaments of other children. This tendency to compare can be lethal to potential because it may produce either discouragement or false pride. Both prevent us from becoming all we can be. Discouragement keeps us from trying new things because we lack the confidence that we can succeed. False pride short circuits our potential by giving us the illusion that we have arrived. If, for example, we compare yourself to an artist who paints beautiful landscapes, and bemoan your lack of artistic ability, you may never discover that you have the knack for arranging flowers into beautiful bouquets. The fact that you cannot draw a flower need not prevent you from making attractive floral arrangements. Likewise, you may sacrifice an Olympic record because you are satisfied to run in 100 yards dash faster than your brother. Whenever you compare your skills and abilities with others, either favorable or unfavorable, you forfeit the opportunity to become your potential because you try to make equal but different people the same. God created you with your specific blend of personalities, skills, and abilities to fulfill your purpose. To maximize your life, you must understand that you are unique, original, irreplaceable. There is no comparison. Opposition. Satan has a way of snuffing out your great dreams by causing us to compromise. Most often, this occurs because we give in to opposition. If he can't stop us, he will push us to make a deal that is not God's deal. Then we have no hope of attaining our goals because we are trying to accomplish our God-given vision with human values and specifications. Opposition is natural to life and necessary for fight. If everyone agrees with your dream, it is probably a nightmare. Society's pressure. Finally, pressures from society's standards and expectation is a threat to potential. The word society comes from the same Latin root of the word special, meaning a companion, and ends with a prefix T. IT, which means the state of condition of something. Thus, society means the condition being companions and refers to the word we frequently associate with. The people we associate with, if they make judgment based on age, race, financial status, ancestry, education, may pressure us to replenish a dream because they do not believe we can accomplish it. Your daddy was nothing, so you won't expect that you will amount to anything either. You don't expect that you will amount to anything either. You are going to start a business at your age? That's for young people to do. Only white folks live in fancy houses. Why don't you let Germans, Vietnamese, Japanese, Italians, Puerto Ricans live in that neighborhood? You can't manage a restaurant. You never finish high school. No woman ever go to be a president in this country. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Go on and on and on. A treasure worth maximizing. When the Apostle Paul described our potential as a treasure in clay pots, he recognized that discovering and exposing the treasure is not always an easy task. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not be despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. He faced the discouragement, failure, opposition, negative opinions, and old age tradition that could have enriched him to forfeit his potential and forsake God's purpose in his life. Yet, because he affirmed that this treasure is the all-compassing, all-surpassing power from God and not from us, Paul perceived to the end. He relied on God's power in his life to achieve what God had purposed. Like John, he stood firm in his faith that the one who is in me is greater than the one that is in the world. And his conviction that his shepherd would take care of him. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gives them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. To maximize your potential, you must guard your potential. Guard and protect your potential. You must cultivate and feed your potential. You must understand and obey the laws of limitation that govern your potential. You must share your potential. Visions can be aborted, and I want you to remember these principles. And when they attack your life, you can call them for what they are. Satan is your enemy. Your dreams, plans, and ideas are target of his evil forces. Beware of the enemies of your potential. Disobedience, sin, fear, discouragement, procrastination, past failures, opinion of others, distraction, success, tradition, wrong environment, comparison, opposition, and society's pressure. You are responsible to guard and protect your potentials. The treasure you must defend is God's wisdom, God's power, and the presence of God's Spirit in your life. This potency of God within you is your potential. Guidelines for safeguarding your potential. Realize your enemies as the forces of evil. Expect Satan's attack. Prepare to overcome his attack. Stand firm in the midst of the attack. Hallelujah. Guidelines for protecting yourself from attack. Don't answer your critics. Post a guard to detect, attract, and to warn of impending danger. Allow God to fight for you. Don't allow the hull of the battle to convince you that the war is over. Stay away from your opposition. Don't waste time talking. Refuse to be intimidated by your critics' threats and accusations. You know, I think this show this morning was specifically for me and some issues and things that the enemy has been putting in my way. And I'm thankful that I have gotten some affirmation in going through this here that will help me to focus on where God is taking me and help me to be able to help others. I thank those of you who had joined me this morning for this segment, and I pray that you will refer this segment to somebody else so they can listen, so that they can get into the practice of maximizing their potential. In each of us lies greatness, and know that in order for you to show forth that greatness, show you things, strut your stuff that God gave you. It is your responsibility. It's not the system. It's not the next person. It is your responsibility. Again, I thank you. I want to remind you that the Vision Weekend Conference is coming up September the 2nd through the 3rd. Visit our website at visionweekendconference.com. We want to see you there. It is planned to be a magnificent, magnificent conference for entrepreneurs and small business people and those of you who have not yet given birth to that vision and purpose that God has put in your life. So come on out and join us on September the 2nd through the 4th. Know that you have a great potential that God has placed inside of you. Do not allow anyone or any situation to distract you or to abort your vision. So long as you stay connected to the source, who is God, He will help you to give birth to that vision. You are not alone. We are in this together. And I encourage you to go after the destiny that you are created for. You are great. You have greatness inside of you. I want you not to satisfy for mediocrity because you are created with a destiny and you are created for destiny. So go forth. Connect with your destiny and make sure that you are setting yourself in a position to take control and dominate this universe. I love each and every one of you. I thank you for your support. And I see you next week, same time, same place, on blogtalkradio.com. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying, go out there and connect to your divine destiny.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Showing me.
directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Oh, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.